Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. This has been a busy year, 2017. Lots of things have gone on. In the past year, the Lord has called to his eternal rest Betty Schroeder, Reverend David Brockroar, Warren O'Neill, Ron Klum, Thomas Yon, Margene Lafine, Margaret Maffitt, Linda Walters, Don Shearer, Irene Schindel, Marge Malice, and just on Friday morning, at 3 o'clock, Mark Rosenthal was called home. As we, I pray, will continue to keep the families in our prayers as they mourn their lost loved ones. And we can say with the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But 2017 wasn't only filled with sorrows. There were many blessings that occurred here at Pilgrim Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession. I'm sorry, I just love saying the full name. It makes me happy. We were filled with the baptisms of Nicholas Myritz and Sophie Vogie and Obadiah Sorensen and Braden Thimming, and the wedding of David and Charity Carey, and the confirmations of Regan Brim and Lydia Hoffman, Ian Jansen, Caitlin Lumens, Lauren Opperman, Mark Selzler, Chloe Scretney, Michelle Bandow, Laura Susnick, and Angela Torrey, along with the addition of 16 new members by transfers in. And let us not forget, that the Lord has blessed us also monetarily, as our debt is now paid off. We can say that. We're debt free. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to the members of Pilgrim. Think about it. 12 years ago, we started a building project that was over $1 million. We had saved $500,000 before we started. We started with about $500,000 to go. And I can say to you that it is fully paid off without one single money sermon ever being preached, but the gospel being proclaimed and no guilt trips given to anyone, but God providing as he works through his people, because as I shared on Thursday night, the will of God will be done, even when you don't want it to be. But thanks be to God, we can say it is done, and we did it by trusting the Lord. And we can rejoice and we can give thanks for all these blessings. And may we never stop giving thanks to God for his rich blessings that he provides in word and sacraments, the gifts that are offered here at Pilgrim that are provided for you as Christ comes to you each time. As he enters through your ear, rains down upon you in water, and enters through your mouth, he joins himself to you and we can rejoice. And so with yet another year of God's great blessings falling behind us now, we can certainly look forward to 2018 and have peace, because nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so we get to our text. In Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40, Jesus is changing, his teachings a little bit, or at least the directions of his teaching. He had been dealing earlier in chapter 12 with our proper attitude towards our possessions. Right? Now he changes in the attitude, not about your possessions, but he wants to talk to you about your anxiety level. The Christians are not to be anxious about anything, and that, of course, is easier said than done. Right? That's not how our lives normally work out. Now Jesus is calling the believer to be watchful as the end is near. And this is a good text to end the year on, because it can save you money on some stupid books that will come out in 2018. That'll tell you they figured out when the end is going to come. And please understand, Jesus has already said no one knows, so just don't waste your time or your money. The scholarship is horrid. The earliest non-biblical Christian document has something to say on our text, which I have to quote. whenever I get a chance to quote from the Didache, I have to quote from the Didache. It's just mandatory, I think. The Didache, which is written around 140 AD, okay, it's not part of the scriptures, obviously, but it is a small book that is a small grouping of writings that is the earliest examples of the Christian church workings and how things are to be done. The Didache says, "Watch over your life. Do not let your lamps go out, and do not keep your loins unbelted, but be ready. For you do not know the hour when the Lord is coming. Meet together frequently in your search for what is good for your soul, since a lifetime of faith will be of no advantage to you unless you prove to be fully responsive to the very end. In the final day, many false prophets and seducers will appear. Sheep will turn into wolves, and love into hatred. With the increase of iniquity, people will hate, persecute, and betray each other. Then the world's deceiver will appear in the guise as God, the guise of God's Son." It's quite a warning to the church and to all of us. Look at the text. Jesus is not saying it might be a good idea to be watchful. He's not saying, if you think you might like to do that, be a little prepared. Right? He's telling you, you better be watchful and you better be prepared. He's telling us that he has chosen people to stay awake, to stay prepared like the children of Israel as they waited for the Exodus to come. This is an imperative. You must be prepared. In our text, Jesus is calling us to this Passover state of readiness and faithfulness. And faithfulness is defined as doing the work Jesus has given us while we eagerly await his return. It is clear from the context of our text, which is sandwiched between two examples of how we don't want to be found, as we do not want to end up like the rich fool whose concern was gathering up his earthly treasures for his leisure, otherwise today known as winning the lottery finally. Right? "And I will say to my soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." And of course, God's great sense of humor will say, "And tonight I expect your life." And we don't want to become like an unfaithful servant who clearly tired of waiting for the master's return, in starting at verse 45 of chapter 12. "But if the servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating." This watchfulness is what we're called to. And it will produce nothing but despair in the end, as sin causes us to think, say, and do things that are the exact opposite of the Lord's instructions. We have joined our hearts with both the rich fool and the thinking of the servant in thinking that our superior skills have gotten us where we are today. We have joined ourselves with the wicked servant in thinking that the master has forgotten about us and we can do whatever we feel like in his house. Sad to say, these two examples are the history of the earthly church and her members. Now you know why we confess when we come together at the very beginning. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. And I know that being in a constant state of watchfulness can get downright exhausting. But we must remember we are called to be awake and watchful, to watch faithfully. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Just a little side information. The watches were 6 to 10, the second watch 10 to 2, and the third watch 2 to 6 a.m. Just so you have an idea. Basil the Great says on this text, "What is the mark of a Christian? It is to watch daily and hourly, and to stand prepared in the state of total responsiveness, pleasing to God, knowing that the Lord will come at an hour that he does not expect." And we all can say, "That's me." I hope none of us are that bold. This is why we cry out, "Lord, have mercy." The cry of the lepers, "Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." This is why we come tonight to receive Christ on the end of this year, as we pray that we'll have the beginning of the next. And we receive him in with and under the bread and the wine. And there Christ gives us himself, and with him the forgiveness of all our sins. Just think about the text. How overwhelming it is to see the master in our text turn the table on his servants, on those faithful servants. As the master dresses himself to a service and invites the servants to recline and serves them, which is clearly a reference to the heavenly feast that awaits all who are faithful unto death. At the Lord's altar tonight, we receive a foretaste of the feast that is to come, as our Lord Jesus serves us himself. And this is no Exodus manna meal in the wilderness where we go, "Vas is das," or "What is this?" This is Jesus' own body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine, given and shed for us. Tonight we gather for this meal with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. As we leave the Lord's table, we join our voices with Simeon in his song that we heard of today, this morning, knowing that we can die in peace because we have received the Lord's Christ. The second part of this text emphasizes again the importance of being alert and on watch, because the master is not the only one who would come at night. Verse 39 gives us a hard warning. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known that what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into." And when the people of God stop their watchfulness, let down their guards, the guard of God's word, forsake the means of grace, the thief has already broken in and looted the house. Today, many churches and members have fallen asleep at the door, unwilling to proclaim the law of God, to awake the sleeping sinner, so that they may rightly hear the gospel in the repentance of their sins. Unwilling to proclaim the gospel clearly, thus leaving the hearer to believe that there's something they can do for their own salvation, rather than pointing the hearer to Jesus, who has accomplished all, who cries out for us on Good Friday, "It is finished," and that Good Friday finished is yours. Of all of this, we must repent. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is oh so weak. And we, from time to time, have allowed the siren's song to lull us to sleep. We dare never forget the master not only must serve, but he must offer himself to suffer and to die for our sins, only to rise from the dead on the third day to assure us that our sins are forgiven. And so the call is, wake up and stay awake. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. If you go back through the history of Christendom, I think it was in 990 already, that they were expecting the end of the world to come, and people started predicting their list of end of the world things. And if you've had opportunity to get a copy of the Lutheranism 101 original edition, there's like 4 pages of end of the world predictions that take place one after another, single spaced, only 12-point font of everybody trying to figure out when it's going to happen. You know when it's going to happen? When the Lord comes. That's when. So don't worry about it. Be awake. Be in the Word. Be in His gifts. Be with His people. Share your faith and rejoice in the good news of your salvation, for Christ has done all for you. So tonight we remember and we look forward. As the year of our Lord 2017 ends, and if the Lord tarries tonight and not returns, then 2018 will come tomorrow, and we will gather again at 9 a.m. and we will hear a wonderful message on the circumcision of our Lord and how He shed His blood for us and was named with the name that is Jesus, that declares exactly what He does for you, for the Lord saves. And so we pray as He taught us, Thy kingdom come, praying that the Lord extends His kingdom of grace so that many more may come to saving faith, and knowing that and looking forward to the day when the kingdom of glory comes, so that we may rejoice with Him in heaven. Have no fear, dear friends in Christ. We can face whatever 2018 has for us if the Lord waits, for God is with us. Hear the word of God spoken by the prophet Isaiah, and let us have the faith that the Israelites did not have in this text. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. And by God's grace through faith, we will always be found willing and watchful. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.